Hello and welcome back to All My Darlings, where we are reading Harp Song for a Radical, The Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs by Marguerite Young. We're on chapter 35, page 120. When Joseph Smith, looking through his peepstones, Urim and Thummim, was translating the golden plates, which according to one version, probably intended as a joke on everyone except himself, the country jackass, had started out as about 40 pounds of gleaming wet sand wrapped in his shirt. As if, so lovingly did he carry it home to his father's fireplace, it was or might have been a baby in his arms, but which must have grown heavier and heavier along the road, and it had grown to the nest of golden plates for which he had waited for long or short years, before admission to the cave guarded by the mysterious Spaniard, an archetypical figure in search of El Dorado, a city of gold with turnip towers, spires, domes. The tonnage of the golden plates had seemed to increase miraculously at times by leaps and bounds. At one time was 1,200 tons, like a resurrected city, or chip a man could scarcely be expected to carry in his gloveless, work-scarred hands, unless he was an angel or a messenger of God. Although quite suddenly, of course, the ever-problematical golden plates might shrink to the size of a watch or a moth, or an eyelid, or the eye of a bird, which had no eyelid, and specialized in omniscience, in seeing all while not being seen. Joseph Smith had refused to allow his wife so much as to peep at the golden plates. They were wrapped around with shrouds of water-stained linen and a lace shroud or bridal veil or tablecloth, and laid out upon the gleaming surface of a massive table under a glass lamp of many prisms reflecting the colors of the known spectrum of the rainbow. With his magic spectacles through which he could see, even with his straw hat brim drawn down over his eyes, and could see also through the bundled linen and lace wrappings tied around by strings, the seer could see to read between gold book covers, spiraled together with gold wire such as was used in matchmaker's shops or eyeglass maker's shops, the raised hieroglyphics appearing in unfamiliar tongues, suddenly familiar to him as the pages turned of themselves with a whirring sound like bird wings as they emitted all kinds of little squeaks, trills, tickings, whirrings, very much little bird songs. The prophet, even like Brigham Young when he became a Mormon and the call of prophecy was placed over his face, was an expert in strange tongues which sounded like bird tongues, those in which Shakers and the feathered red men of America also communicated, although some of the bird tongues were those of birds that had long since disappeared from other parts of the world and might be heard only on lost Atlantean islands, occasionally coming up from the waters of the great deluge upon so many pinnacles between the coasts of Ireland and Wales and the New World. Many mythologies, which were old and flourishing before Adam came into the world, and God made out of his spare rib a wife to be his companion, and she ate the apple. There were versions of visions in which she ate a rose from a rose tree and ate its thorn. Why do people follow Mormonism? Like, this is bad. No wonder poor Young was murdered and lynched. He's freaking crazy. And worth billions of dollars that they were accused of hiding in overseas accounts, because, you know, religion is a racket. And a very well done money-making racket. Wow. Okay. I'm not crapping on them. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But they're worth billions. Just like every other sect of American religion is worth billions. Enough to pay every man, every person, every man, woman, and child on planet Earth $1 million and still have billions with a B left over. Oh, the Baltimore Archdiocese is going to go bankrupt because of all the sexual assault and abuse cases that they would have to pay out. And so that news came out. So then, of course, the news today was they're going to reconsider women and LGBTQ plus and, yeah, way to, I don't know, shift the focus. Oh, the media is so transparent. Okay. Brigham Young had not met or known Joseph Smith at the time of the discovery of the phenomenal, super phenomenal plates of gold in the cave. Had been living some 15 miles away as a painter and paint scraper who was dissatisfied with the Methodist faith, was more or less outside of any faith. It would recall that on the night when the invisible plates of gold were brought out of the cave, a night when there had been no moon, he had seen the most brilliant light sweeping the heavens for several hours before it formed into men, who seemed to be marching in great armies out of the northwest to the southwest. The armies had taken about 2 hours to pass beyond the farthest horizon. He must have been smitten by the spirit of prophecy even at this early time, and by the time of his conversion had been able to talk with bird voices to feathered angel birdmen and saints long dead who came to his call. When at last Brigham Young read the Book of Mormon, which was Joseph Smith's translation, and which some people thought was real and some people thought was a fraud, he could see nothing but truth in it, and was assured that this truth was the pure gold of the Spirit of God, and not the gold of a fool. The only truth there was in heaven was the Mormon truth, of course, and the only truth there was on earth was the Mormon truth, of course, and the only truth there was in hell was the Mormon truth, if indeed any truth of any kind could be found in hell. The of courses were my addition. The curiosity seekers who had wished to see the golden plates when they had been delivered to the golden Chanticleer, who was Joseph Smith in a land prepared to believe that America was the millennial continent where dead cities which had been hidden under the roots of trees and where rivers should be paved with interlinking sheets of long-winged, long-headed, long-necked, long-limbed seraphim, so far as eyes could see and had not been permitted to see, while the many fluttering pages with their seemingly random and yet logical sentences and half-sentences and almost disembodied phrases were in the process of discovery. For God had forbidden that these golden plates, which were the source of vision and should transform the face of the world, should be seen directly, even as God himself should not be seen except in the form of the bush burning up in the midst of the flood. So it's crazy to me to think that there were all these people coming to America for this, but that must have been earth-shattering. I don't think, until right now, it just seems crazy, but I don't think I can fully wrap my head, unless like aliens show up tomorrow, I fully wrap my head around the discovery of this new world and what that did to the psyche of people at that time. Because before then, I'm like, you have to rewrite maps and history books and it totally changes everything. It totally changes your worldview and everything that you know in it. Never mind that, you know, they wiped out indigenous people on the American continent, north to south, but yeah, okay, I can kind of, you know, wrap my head around the fact that this was just such an earth-splitting experience to understand there is this whole world that was hidden, hidden, unknown to you before. Okay, where was I? Sorry. Farmer Hale, reluctant host to the enthusiastic bridegroom and the bereaved bride who had lost the child of her womb, but had placed her faith in what well might have been called Joseph Smith's desert sand, had wanted nothing in his house that could not be seen, even if it could be heard. And perhaps, after all, it must have sounded like nothing as much as metallic curtain hoops being drawn along a metallic curtain rod. Joseph Smith's life, that of a perpetual bridegroom surrounded by mysteries, out of which he would try to make some kind of order, and which he would always love as much or more than life itself, was certainly and could continue to be increasingly a mare's nest, had he not been drifting consciously or unconsciously toward the restoration of a religion that had been long lost to earth. And if he had been content to let the talk about the golden casket that contained the book die out as 9 days' wonders soon displaced by other headline news, he might have subsided eventually into obscurity. The accident, if such it was, had become his fate in an America where, overshadowing the lives of many poor, earthbound farmers, dropping turnip seeds into holes on little hardscrabble farms, was and would be for many decades the dream of Muhammad's winged casket flying over the earth and casting its many lights upon the faces of the plowmen. True developers were not those who placed their faith in Aladdin's lamp, but those great tycoons of coal and oil and steel, who, already coming up, were like ancient pharaohs who needed no such dwarf as this poor gypsy to interpret their dreams according to the golden plates. They were well on the way to building their great pyramids of power, which no poor gypsy could possibly overturn. For, with all the sand in the world, Joseph Smith had nothing to see but an idea in his mind. Once when asked how the golden plates and the breastplate and the Urim and Thummim had been transported unseen from the cave of the man-made hill of Cumorah to the door of his father-in-law's farmhouse, the crippled youth had answered that they had been delivered by a postman who had hidden them in a bag of wheat. The deliverer had been the angel Moroni in disguise. Emma's father insisted that he had known nothing of this coming of the gold plates. The bag had contained no grain but a change of clothes, shirt and pants and underwear. The latter in short supply are not owned by him. For surely the bridegroom, who was now claiming to be the successful gold seeker, who had raised himself up a few notches socially from the mud and the sand, had not wished to continue to look like a scarecrow, just as the bereaved bride had not wished to look like the bride of a scarecrow. Her wind-torn, rain-stained, dirty old lace curtain, which was her bridal veil, blowing like a shroud around her when the great snows fell and the winter winds howled like hungry wolves around her, as might happen if there was no corn. All right. Thank you for listening. Hope you're enjoying it and all is well where you are. Bye.